Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Tonight, it's the MLB All-Star Game, the American League versus the National League. And our host, Jesse Agler, is all excited because, as Fox told us a number of years ago, this time it counts.
All hell is going to break loose on the baseball landscape.
Our other host is Randy Jones, who played in two All-Star games. One he saved and one he started by using a bulldog mentality out on the mound. A mentality he's trying to bring to Padres' social hour.
This is going to become the unsocial hour if we're not careful.
Oh?
It's we're going to change the name.
To what?
Unsocial hour.
Why?
Because we're going to start being unsocial.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
For all of the cynicism, for all of the nitpicking we all do during the baseball season, today really is one of the best days of the year.
We can't nitpick. We could if we wanted.
No, we probably will nitpick something at some point. But the All-Star game, man, whether you're a kid or whether you're old or whether you're in between, this is just one of the best, man.
Yeah. Well, you get an opportunity to see the best of the best, you know, and in a kind of an entertainment atmosphere, competitive but still entertaining.
It's a little bit different than any other game.
You betcha.
It really is, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You've got All-Star experience. That makes one of us.
You
finished the game in 75, and then in 76 you started the game, and you threw, a couple shutout innings, didn't you?
Three shutout innings in 76, and then the ninth of 75. Four innings in a row
in the All-Star game. The only pitcher, by the way, in Major League history to finish one game and start the next. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That was a lot of fun.
So that was you in 1975 and 1976, and here we are in 2015.
Just a couple years later.
39 years later. Not too bad. And we'll talk a lot about the All-Star game coming up. Eduardo Ortega, the great and legendary Spanish-language voice of the Padres, is going to join us. Eduardo is in Cincinnati, where he is calling his 16th All-Star game.
I think that's great.
On the radio tonight. So Eduardo will be doing the Spanish-language broadcast tonight nationally, and he'll check in, which will be really nice. Also, our buddy Mike Grace, who was on the show sometime, is going to join us from Cincinnati. Grace was on the field last night for the Home Run Derby. And we got to talk about this Home Run Derby.
I like it.
Going back to that thing I was saying about we can always find something to nitpick, man, that was fun last
night. That was great. I like the new format. Everybody's really comfortable. It was good.
There's, like, no debate, right? Like, it was a win-win-win. I don't know that Major League Baseball has ever done something so, like, unanimously popular.
I agree. Yeah, well, you know what I really liked? Like, Frazier got the bonus time and hit a walk-off homer a couple times. You know, I love that stuff. You know, boom, hits it out. I won.
You had a couple buzzer beaters, which is a new thing in baseball. You got a couple buzzer beaters. You have the new format, and it just worked. It just worked for the Home Run Derby. And so a couple of things I want to dive into about this. One, and I mentioned this yesterday, it's funny because for a million years, baseball was, hey, we're the sport that doesn't have a clock. And then this year in the minor leagues, we put in the pitch clock. In the major leagues, we put in the in-between inning clock. And in the Home Run Derby, we put in this four-minute clock. And remember, it was supposed to be five. And they shortened it to four because they were concerned about the weather. And I think four is good. I don't need to see 5 minutes.
I agree.
I think, like, okay, we saw that it works. It should be four moving forward if they're going to keep this format. And I certainly hope they do. But man, the pace of the thing, it works. Clocks in baseball work. I'm not trying to psych anybody out.
No, in certain aspects, the clock works. Like when it doesn't count.
Okay. So there's obviously, to me, there is something about it, though. Pace of game, pace of play. We talk about that all the time, right? Last night was a really good example of why pace of play is so important.
I
know Home Run Derby is not a game. I get that. It's not an apples-to-apples
comparison.
But as
far as entertainment, pace of play does help.
It matters.
It does.
And last night was a great example of it mattering. There was so much buzz surrounding this thing. It seemed like everybody was into it. Everybody was enjoying it. Look, Twitter can be a negative place. We all know this. And I'm scrolling through Twitter last night, and it was like everybody in my timeline, whether it was baseball people or not, seemed to be enjoying the thing.
Yeah, I love
and that never happens. That never happens. And everybody was enjoying it. So I think last night is another good example of why the pacing in baseball is important. And I'm not saying I have the answer for regular season games in Major League Baseball for pacing, and I don't know if it is a pitch clock, but I'm like very open-minded about this thing. Because, again, last night was like another good example of why pacing matters in baseball. And quick pacing, like when you pitched, is important to keeping people locked in, particularly in this age of short attention spans and iPhones and
clock.
Everything else.
Told you that.
All right, I know you say that. And I'm not saying you need a clock, but you need better pace.
Yeah, well, that's simple. Expand the strike zone.
Oh, okay. You just want everything called a strike?
Yeah, that'll pick up the game.
Yeah, no, I guess it would. All right, so we got a lot to get to. The Home Run Derby was awesome last night. We're going to visit with Eduardo coming up in a little bit. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, had a lot to say today in some meeting with the baseball writers, sort of about the future of the game, the future of instant replay, the future of the big league schedule, the future of pitch clocks. We'll get to some of what Rob Manfred had to say a little while ago as well, because I think all of that is very, very important. And, of course, we'll take your questions and your comments as well. The hashtag on Twitter to jump into the conversation is PadresSH. That's the hashtag, PadresSH. And we'll get your feedback throughout the day, both on the Home Run Derby and on other things. Tonight is the All-Star Game. Zach Greinke will start for the National League, and Dallas Keuchel of the Houston Astros will start for the American League. A couple of guys who had slow starts to their big league careers and who have become dominant. Greinke for a couple of years now, and Keuchel sort of bursting onto the scene this year. We saw him at Petco Park earlier this season with the Astros. He was very impressive.
Yeah, both of them are very, very impressive. I think this year we've seen a lot of, well, not a lot of Keuchel, but we did see him here. Seen a lot of Greinke, and you know, both well-deserved. Two good starters.
Yeah, two good starters, so they're going to go. As for the rest of the starting lineups, this is what makes the baseball All-Star game so good. Because you look at the thing 1 through 9,
hey,
right?
I looked at the National League lineup, and I'm not sure I'd want to pitch against that lineup.
It's ridiculous.
I'm telling you.
It's ridiculous. So Blooper's got our lineups here. Take a look. We'll start with the National League because we're a National League show. We're a National League show. So McCutchen leads off. Todd Frazier, who put on the show last night, will hit second. He's going to get a massive ovation. Bryce Harper hits third. Paul Goldschmidt to the Diamondbacks, fourth. Buster Posey to the Giants, fifth. Anthony Rizzo is the DH. He bats sixth. Johnny Peralta, voted in by the Cardinal fans, hit seventh. Jock Peterson is batting eighth, okay? And DJ LeMahieu will bat ninth. We'll see LeMahieu on Friday night here at Petco when the Rockies are in town. So, yeah, how do you approach? There's no soft spots, I'll tell you that much.
A lot of power in that lineup.
Yeah, you got a few guys that can hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's talk about this from your perspective. As you're pitching to the American League All-Stars at the start of the game in 1976, I mean, you can't pitch around guys, right?
No.
Not that you ever would. No, I'm not suggesting
that. I never did want to, but you know, it was a little bit different. I pitched to contact, so it was a little bit different in that scenario.
Oh, we go. Here we go.
You know,
this is what I want to see.
This is what it's all about. It's great.
Philadelphia, Veterans Stadium. And now, this works out nicely. You're the ground ball pitcher, right?
Yep.
And you got a pretty decent infield behind you.
Yeah, I got a real good one. Real good one, I'm telling you.
So if we go around the horn for the National League team in 1976 when you start, well, you're throwing to Johnny Bench.
Yeah, Bench is behind the plate. I got Garvey at first. I've got Joe Morgan at short. There's Dave Concepcion at short. I mean, Joe Morgan's at second, you know. Then, you know, nice little double play. That combo was really good. I got, you know, Pete Rose at third. I had a pretty good chance to win that game, I figured.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it works out nicely. Nice, too, I guess, to have the up-the-middle double play combo sort of intact.
Yes.
Right from the Reds.
Oh, man, it was great.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
That's awesome. All right, so we talk about the gauntlets of these lineups.
Yeah.
And for the American League tonight, starting lineup, so the thing that stands out to me, by the way, about the American League is that Jose Altuve is going to have like 400 hits this season, and he's batting eighth. But anyway, Mike Trout leads off. That should be fun right off the bat. Donaldson, who's a leading vote getter in all of baseball, I believe. Pujols third. Nelson Cruz fourth. And then you get all these Royals, of course. Lorenzo Cain, Adam Jones, who did a really nice thing last night, by the way. Salvador Perez, the big catcher from the Kansas City Royals. Altuve and Alcides Escobar, the lineup. This is so
good
much
lineups,
fun.
Man.
A lot of young guys, too, by the
way.
Yes,
I love that, too.
That's the best. That's
like
the best.
That.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. All of these young dudes. And if you look across the landscape of baseball right now, hey, look, we all know Trout and Harper are young and talented and superstars. We all know what Jock Peterson is doing this year. But it goes well beyond the super-duper stars, this youth movement in baseball right now. The amount of production being generated team to team by guys under the age of 25 is historically high right now.
Yeah, and what you like the Bryants and these names like Peterson, You know, they're trying to get to that level.
Yeah.
They want, you know, and they can. They have the potential to be superstars in the game of baseball if they continue what they're doing.
One of the best nights of the year, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game coming up at 5 o'clock on Fox. We'll step aside. When we come back, we'll preview the game with Eduardo Ortega. He'll be broadcasting his 16th.
The game's going to be 1-0.
All-Star Game. No chance.
No chance.
No chance. Not 1-0.
You sure?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Okay.
All right. Come out to Petco Park Wednesday, July 22nd, for a complete throwback experience. It's another Wayback Wednesday as the Padres take on the Giants at 12:40, and the first 20,000 fans in attendance will receive a pair of knockaround sunglasses presented by Knockaround. So get your tickets today at padres.com/WBW. Padres Giants 12:40 and knockaround sunglasses. Take a break. When we come back, Eduardo Ortega joins us live from Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. All-Star Game coming up at 5 o'clock. Trying to track down Eduardo Ortega. He'll be broadcasting the game in Espanol. Nationwide, coast to coast.
It's a crazy day during the All-Star Game.
Yeah, a little busy.
Forget that. You know, it goes by so quick, and you really do. You need a couple of them to get the opportunity to enjoy one. I mean, 75 was a blur for me.
Yeah, I believe that.
Just a blur.
I believe that.
And you don't think you're going to get to pitch. Next thing you know, you're pitching the ninth inning, and all of a sudden the game's over, and everybody's packing up. Poof.
And it's done.
Gone.
That's it.
It's it.
Craziness.
Wow.
Well, now they've added all this other stuff, too. I mean, not just the home run derby, but, like, they got this red carpet thing today. So they've really turned it into a big event. And the players, they really seem to enjoy this kind of stuff, which is neat.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know. And you a lot of keepsakes you bring, you know, I don't care if it's a baseball or the all-star bats that you get. And little things like that. And your all-star ring, eventually you get. It just, you know, there's a lot of, you know, every time you look at it, you pull out an all-star ring, it brings back some pretty good memories.
I would say so.
You know.
I would say so. And the game's going to be right here behind us next year.
Oh, that's awesome.
How fun is this show going to be a year from today?
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. This place is going to be packed. You're going to have, you know, fans from all over the country jammed into the place.
That's right.
And we'll be having a blast on Padres Social Hour. Hey, I was talking about the youth movement a few minutes ago, right? Really good story in the Wall Street Journal this week. Brian Costa, 20 all-stars, 20. Are 25 years of age or younger this year.
Awesome.
20 guys, 25 or under, in the All-Star Game. And he just sort of wrote about the production being made by guys around baseball now that are 25 and younger, and it's incredible. So you know the stat WAR, wins above replacement.
Mm.
If you don't really get what it means, just bear with me through this. It doesn't really matter if you know what it means or not, but you get an idea of what we're talking about here. 28% of the total WAR in baseball this year comes from guys 25 and under. 28%
wow.
of it. So you say, okay, well, what does that mean? In the year 2000, it was 19%. So even just in the last 15 years, the amount of production you're getting from guys 25 or younger has gone up, you know, pretty significantly. As for players 30 and over, okay, so you're sort of a veteran, you know, your elder statesman type
right.
guy. Right now, 27% of the WAR comes from those guys. In 2000, it was 43%.
So you're getting
a lot more from the younger guys and a lot less from the older guys. Now, the why is obviously the most interesting thing there, and we'll talk about the why in a little bit. Now, though, we are joined by the Spanish-language voice of the San Diego Padres, Eduardo Ortega. He is at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, Ohio, where tonight he will call the 86th All-Star Game. Eduardo, 16th All-Star Game for you, is that correct?
Hola, ¿qué tal, Chico Jesse? Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. This is my 16th. And I'm very excited to represent the Padres, my community, my family, the Mexican broadcasting and Major League Baseball. So it's fiesta time for everybody.
Eduardo, who's your partner doing the broadcast?
Gracias. Randy, el zurdo de oro, my goldie lefty. How are you, Randy?
I'm good, my friend.
Great. My partner is working here. He's a partner from Venezuela, and he's based in the ESPN network. So we're working together. He does the Sunday night games. So we now have three different styles, one guy from Dominican Republic, Venezuela, and myself.
Oh, beautiful.
Nice. You get a little bit of the different sounds from the different nations. Eduardo Ortega, of course, can be seen and heard here in San Diego for all Padres games, calling the All-Star Game tonight nationally on ESPN Deportes. Set the scene for us in Cincinnati. It's been a pretty wild couple of days, huh?
Yeah, it's part of the for when after we played the Rangers over there in Arlington, I had a rough flight from 3 o'clock in the morning connecting from Dallas to Houston, and Houston, Cincinnati, and first day in Cincinnati, yesterday very morning, early morning, the whole town, the community, Covington, Kentucky, the Queen City, the streets decorated, and everybody's like in a carnival. So it's a tradition. Everybody knows how important is Cincinnati in the history of baseball with the Red Stockings, the first professional baseball team. And I think wherever you go, it's about the Reds, about the All-Star game.
You know, Eduardo, you talk about that, though. And, you know, watching 16 years, you've seen maybe a little bit of change. And we were just talking about the younger talent all of a sudden in the All-Star game. And I think that's very encouraging for baseball to see a lot of these young players make it to the All-Star level so quickly.
Yes, yes, definitely. This is beside the injured players when they make changes based on the system, the format replacing the players, the regular, the starters, both by the fans or selected by the managers and the coaching staff of the officials from Major League Baseball. But definitely, you're right, Randy. This year is the most first-time all-star players we will see in one event. It's more than almost the 50% of the roster. They said 33 players first-time coming for this event.
Wow.
That's exciting. Now, Eduardo, have you gone to Fan Fest? Do you get to do any of the fun stuff?
Yes. I stopped by yesterday before I called the Home Run Derby.
All right.
Which was for me probably the best. And also, I think it's one of the most successful based on their new system, the competition. And the clock added a lot of fun and suspense, drama, and all the ingredients for really make a successful event. And Fan Fest is like I would say the carnival for the fans, and all kinds of shows you can see, former players like yourself, Randy, people who really are part of this and always will be. The fans want to see them and hear stories, and also all the suppliers, the sponsors, and also it's like we had in 1992 in San Diego in the convention center. Of course, through the years, this has been getting better and better.
Absolutely. Eduardo, I imagine it gives us a pretty good taste of what might be coming San Diego's way next year.
Yes. Oh, perfect. Yes. I think San Diego, with the weather we have, is America's finest city, will be again on the showcase to the world. And the Padres with our beautiful Petco. And hopefully on the field we have that team that also can put with their talent the most players possible, because that really creates a difference with the community when you have more representatives of the local team in this international event.
And that will be Eduardo's 17th year doing the All-Star Game, Jesse.
And a pretty cool one, getting to do it in his home ballpark.
You don't have to go anywhere. You know, just come down here, Eduardo. That'll be easy.
Gracias. I would love to do that. Not traveling at all.
Definitely changes the whole experience. All right, one more for Eduardo Ortega. We know he's getting ready for the broadcast tonight. It's been a couple of years, as we know, since a Padre has appeared in an All-Star game. 2011 was the last time. It's a position player this year. We're going to see Justin Upton tonight, right?
Yes. I talked to Bosch yesterday and asked him, because everybody knows we had the last 2 years no Padre and on the boxes scored at all. just on the rosters, right? With Ever Cabrera in New York. And last year we have Tyson Ross on the doing the replacement with Houston Street. So a position player, we need one. And Justin is in his All-Star year. And he just laughs and says, I'm going to do my best.
I love it. That's perfect.
Playing coy. All right, Eduardo Ortega will be broadcasting an All-Star game for the 16th time in his career in Cincinnati tonight. En Español, Eduardo, appreciate it so much. I know you're busy, and have fun tonight.
Thank you very much, and hope to see you Friday, and have everybody a wonderful second half for our Padres. Saludos cordiales desde la ciudad reina, Cincinnati, Ohio, en el Juego de Estrellas All-Star game.
Perfect.
Thanks, Eduardo.
You're the best, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you.
Gracias, Eduardo. Man, he's
a great guy.
He's one of the best, and obviously a very, very talented broadcaster. But one of those guys, too, he walks in the room, boom, lights up.
Yeah, I know even during the off season, just he'll go down and like do the, you know, like the Columbia World Series down there. He'll be broadcasting down there sometime.
He's like an 11.5-month-a-year baseball broadcaster.
Unbelievable.
He's awesome. So congratulations to Eduardo. He's another Padre in the All-Star game this year. In a little bit of a different way. All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about last night's home run derby with a guy who was on the field for the home run derby last night in Cincinnati. Our buddy Mike Grace.
I like that.
He's there learning. One of a large handful of Padre employees who is in Cincinnati as San Diego gets ready to host next year's game. So he kind of got an opportunity to be down on the field and see the mechanics of the thing, how it all works. Kind of a neat deal. A little bit inside baseball.
Well, it does help.
Yes.
For next year.
Absolutely. So Mike will join us when we come back. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Plenty more All-Star talk on this Tuesday. Padres Social Hour continues from the AMR studio.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour from Petco Park. We're a year from now. Gonna be a little hectic. Gonna be a little hectic.
Looking forward to that, though.
2016 All-Star Game coming to downtown San Diego. It'll be the third Major League All-Star Game played in America's finest city and the first at Petco.
I'm glad the Padres getting you to have a bunch of core people back in Cincinnati for the All-Star Game.
You gotta learn.
Yeah, you do.
You gotta learn.
It's
and
the internal parts of it that makes it all happen. That's really good.
That's it. So one of the core people, as you put it,
right,
who is there, is our buddy Mike Grace. You see him on the show sometimes. He is also one of the guys that runs all like the game entertainment for the Padres. So, I mean, that's everything from the player intros to the mascot, all that kind of good stuff. And Mikey joins us now on the Cholula Hotline from Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. How was that derby, man?
The derby was unbelievable. The energy here, and the Reds fans are really, really good fans. I know we talk about the Cardinals and what they do. The Reds fans are really good baseball fans, too. And to have their guy in the home run derby was just absolutely electric last night.
Yeah, it really sounded like it every time he came up, Gracie. I love seeing hearing that, though. It was exciting to see a Red there in Cincinnati. Great to see all of them getting behind it.
It was really fun. Like I said, it was electric for him. But even better, like Jock Peterson faces him in the finals. And everything he does, they're booing. They're rooting against him so hard, which was great. And it was so fun to see him do it and actually earn it. I mean, he really had to put up a big number to beat Jock Peterson there. So all I can really hope is that there is a Padre in that home run derby because it makes all the difference in the world to that home crowd. And it makes it so fun.
Yeah, no, I imagine the Major League Baseball's got to think about trying to get a hometown guy in every year now just because of the way that went. You've been at a lot of sporting events in your life, obviously. You've been lucky. You've gotten to go to big ones. You're down on the field for this thing last night. I mean, where does the electricity rank as far as some of the things you've attended?
It's definitely really high on the list. I mean, just being around Reds employees, Reds fans, to see the city all in red, you knew what it meant in the pregame introductions when they introduced him to the crowd. You knew it was going to be really special. And with this new format that it seemed to really go over so great with the fans and the contest, it really allows for these guys to get out there and swing. They're not worried about making outs. They can just go out and swing freely. And you get to see these guys really take their best swings. So, but for me, that was definitely top of the list, just being around so many excited people. To see their hometown guy win, that was really, really fun.
And you know, Mike, the new format, though, we've talked about it before. I think everybody really enjoyed this new format. And even the players, that look a lot more relaxed going through the home run hitting, you know, contest. And I love that format. And I think you're going to find maybe more guys wanting to be involved in the home run hitting contest in the future because of the new format.
I really agree. I think it takes a lot of the pressure off those guys. When you have those finite number of outs, there's a little more pressure to make those swings really valuable. Now you can just swing away. It's a little more like BP where you guys see these hit home runs. So a Bryce Harper or a Mike Trout, probably they're not going to be worried about going out there and you know, maybe making an embarrassing appearance. So it really did help. And to be honest, you know, things got changed because of the weather situation, but it really was a blessing in disguise because 5 minutes was a little long, and some of the other rules that they had in place I think would have made it even longer, and it might have been a four-hour show, but the way they cut back because of the rain really helped it make just the right amount of show, and some of the rules were a little complicated. This simplified everything and made it really fun, and I mean, how perfect that Todd Frazier goes out there with his bonus time, and that's when he wins it.
And you know, also that, you know, that bodes well for us next year. Now we know the formula.
Guinea pig.
Yeah.
Guinea pig.
That's really great that we can modify it a little bit and even make it better.
Yeah. No. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, I think one thing that they should do, because I think one thing you did learn is that it's incredibly valuable to be the higher seed, because if you get to go second and say you pass the guy you're playing, you don't have to keep swinging, so you can save some energy. So, you know, you see something like this, so you start bouncing ideas on how to make it really cool. If there's a hometown guy, he should be the number one seed automatically. I think that would make it so much more fun to make sure he always has a little bit of an advantage, because it does make for such a better derby, and, you know, it's going to be even better for the fans if that guy has the best chance to win.
That's a good idea. I like that. I wouldn't have any problem with that, which, of course, is very easy to say when the next home run derby is going to be played here at Petco Park. All right, so what were you looking at, you know, like logistically? You know, we were kind of describing your job a little bit and some of the things you do. Well, what are some of the things you're trying to pick up on for next year?
So you're just going through everything that they do. There's so many different events and so many people that make it happen. You really rely on the community a lot. There's a lot of volunteer opportunities and for people to get involved and to see how to help coordinate those folks and the things that they're going to do. There's a lot of rehearsals being on the big national television audience. You want to make sure that you're putting the best step forward. So every single event that happens on the field, you're going to have a rehearsal for. So I'm able to see the process, and then, you know, being around baseball and doing some of the things we do, it translates. So, you know, they'll give me odd jobs to do here, help out with certain things in the pregame ceremonies tonight, very similar to what we do at Petco Park on a day-to-day basis, just on a grander scale. So you kind of see all those things, get your hands in it, and have a better understanding of how to make it run better for next year and hopefully put on the best show that they've ever seen.
I would assume that you've been running into a few Padre employees as well.
Yeah, no, a lot of them are here. And we actually had a really, really nice tour with some of the MLB folks a little while ago who shockingly were able to take some time out and just show us the operation, what it takes, because there's so many spaces around the ballpark that they need to make this event go. And it's just a really, really big operation. So saw a lot of those folks, saw a lot of people taking a lot of notes. And just, you know, I think we want to put the city, the ballpark, and the organization on the best foot with this game.
Now, Mike, we had a chance to get outside of the ballpark, though, like the Fan Fest or any of the other activities that they're doing there in Cincinnati?
Not too many of the other activities. Been pretty buried here at the ballpark. The Fan Fest is right across from our hotel. It's pretty similar. They do increase every year, make it a little better, but you know what you're going to get. It's a really fun experience there. We saw the fun run they did. It was right here at the ballpark. That's one thing about Cincinnati that's worked pretty well is everything's very condensed in their downtown, so their events can be fairly close. The excitement in the city is really fun to see, and I can't wait to see that for San Diego. Everybody getting really excited to put their city on the national map and even the world map to really highlight everything we can offer.
I was going to say, how pumped are you right now for next year?
Especially after the home run derby,
yeah.
And you've talked about it with that Western Metal building, and I just imagining somebody getting one on the roof or hitting the second deck in right field. That really, really got me fired up. And there's been so much work that these folks have had to do because of the rain around here. And luckily, that's something we don't usually have to deal with. So that's going to make the operational side of this a lot easier for most of these folks. You know, knock on wood.
Yeah, no, I would certainly think that'll be the case next year. Mike Grace from the All Star Game in Cincinnati. Tonight, you get to sit back and enjoy, or are you being put to work?
Pre-game, I'm going to be working. I'll be down on the field. Hopefully, you don't see me on TV because we try to stay behind the scenes a little bit. But once the game gets going, then I get to kind of see the operation, see the in-game flow, see how that goes, and hopefully take some notes for next year. But once the pre-game's done, I'm going to hopefully enjoy this game, and hopefully the National League wins it.
Very nice.
There you go.
Mike Grace on the Cholula Hotline. Mike, appreciate it, man, and have fun tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. See you guys in a couple days.
Thanks, Mike.
Awesome. Mike Grace on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres.
That's great. You can hear the enthusiasm in his voice.
I'm like ready to fast forward to next July, I mean, which is crazy. Like, I'm ready to go, man.
Yeah.
That it seems like so much fun. I've never been to an All-Star game. I've never been to one. So, you know, just from, like, the little boy fan part of me,
yeah.
I am I'm psyched.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of things to do. You'll be busy.
No, I won't be bored.
No, you won't be bored.
I'm not worried about boredom next year, believe me.
Not an option.
No, probably not. All right, cool. Hey, we'll take a break. And on the other side, I want to get into that youth movement we were talking about and some of the reasons why these young guys are contributing at such a big level, and why maybe some of the older guys are contributing less than they ever have before. We've also got questions and comments coming in on Twitter. Remember, you can hop on board with that. Just use the hashtag PadresSH. Take a break. Do that when we come back. This is Padres Social Hour live from the AMR studio at Petco Park.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United on this All-Star Tuesday. First pitch scheduled for 5 o'clock Pacific time, or a little bit after.
Or a little bit after.
Probably a little bit after. Yeah. But they got going, I think, pretty much on time last night. They were a little bit delayed with the weather. Tonight, we'll talk about the weather in a little bit. We'll give you the latest news update as far as weather is concerned from Cincinnati. First, I want to hop on to the tweeter, Justin, on Twitter. He wants to know what inning. He wants a prediction. What inning do we see Justin Upton? He is predicting a two-run dinger.
Whoa.
So when do you think we see Justin Upton?
Fifth or sixth.
Fifth or sixth. Okay.
I'm thinking that's
I'd like to see him get a couple of bats. I mean, that's kind of what
too.
I'm thinking.
I would. That'd be great.
Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for. But we got to see him in this game, right?
Oh, we will.
All right.
Definitely.
Nothing screwy is going to happen where, for some reason, he's left on the bench in the ninth inning, like in the on-deck circle or something.
There's no need for that. I don't see Boach doing that.
Okay. All right.
You know.
All right. He's in.
It's a blowout.
All right. Joe wants to know, RJ, if you think it's easier to break in the big times, the big leagues today than it was in the past. Or are the younger guys getting better training? And this goes back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago.
Right.
The amount of production around baseball being produced, I guess, by guys under 25 years old or under 26. And the limited amount of production now as compared to years past for the guys that are 30 and older. So what do you think?
Yeah,
easier now? Or
I think the younger guys, I think that's this transitions. You know, there's so much baseball being played at the younger age. You talk about year-round baseball, travel ball, you know, and I think these young kids, you're seeing them younger because they're developing such good skills and good mechanics, you know, earlier.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the reason why. And I mean, and I don't care if you're a front office guy and you draft this guy and what you see in the minor leagues, you kind of get an indication if a kid's ready or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of these kids, you know, like Peterson and Bryant, I mean, they're ready. They're ready for the big leagues, and they're stepping up, you know, and getting the job done right now.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, some will go high, the hiccups you got to go through.
Sure.
I understand that, but it's all about making adjustments. But I think it's the younger players. I understand that. I think the instruction level and you know, their desire is just as much as we were, but there's more opportunities to get better faster.
Yeah. So in the article in the Wall Street Journal, which is sort of what began this conversation, written by Brian Costa this week, and again, he's talking about, you know, how much has changed in 15 years.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I was just curious. I wonder, Jesse, if you've given any thought, talk about the productivity of the younger kids versus maybe the older set not having as big as impact.
Right. Part of it has to be PEDs with the older guys. It has to be. Those are, if not out of the game, they are much less a part of the game than they were in 2000.
Okay.
And we keep comparing things to 2000, which I think you could argue is kind of the height of that era, or one of the heights at least, or part of the heights of that era. So I think that's part of the reason.
I do too. I
agree. That the over 30 crowd isn't producing the way they were 15 years ago. But the other thing, and Logan White, the Padres scouting director, was quoted in this article, and he's talking about what you were talking about, the year-round baseball, the young guys, you know, being on three or four travel teams, all of that kind of stuff. And he made a couple of really interesting points, one of which I thought was, he says, by the time a kid is drafted, he used Mike Trout, I think, as the example. He said, by the time Mike Trout is drafted, he's already seen the best pitchers in the country because
exactly.
of all these travel teams. 25 years ago, he said, that guy getting drafted may never have seen a fastball of more than 80 miles an hour.
That is true.
By the time he was drafted, he would have never seen a 90-mile-per-hour fastball. Now he's playing on three teams. He's traveling around the country. He's playing all-star teams. He's seeing the best of the best. And so by the time he's being drafted, he's already experienced so many things that 25 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago.
And a lot of these top players, remember, they're playing, they're representing the USA
in
the tournaments and that type of thing. And you're seeing the same names from that team. All of a sudden, they're showing up on the major league level.
Yeah.
I mean, Bryce Harper was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
When he's a high schooler.
Yeah. Before nobody knew who he was.
Yeah. Well, now we know.
Yes.
And it's been pretty serious. And so anyway, I thought it was a really, really fascinating story. And it's fun and it's exciting, I think, to sort of be at the doorstep of an era. And it does feel like we're kind of walking through to a new era. You know, it's kind of ushered in a couple of years ago, you know, with McCutcheon, but now with Trout and with Bryce Harper, and sure, with Chris Bryant, you can throw him in that conversation as well. Man, these are some really, really young guys that are really, really talented.
And there's some really, really young arms on the mound that are very talented. So
I didn't mean to leave the
pitchers. Yeah, you always do.
Well, I think these are your prime example guys you're talking about here. And pitchers probably take a little bit longer to get ready, right? They need a little more seasoning, a little more time on the grill.
A little bit more, I think, to get that endurance, the stamina that you need, to, especially by today's standards when you're out there trying to throw the ball 94, 95 miles an hour.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, that ain't easy.
No, no. You gotta build up for that.
It can't be easy.
You say, from what you understand?
From what I hear.
Yeah, that makes two of us. Don't worry about it. That makes two of us. All right, another interesting thing I read this week, which I want to kick around a little bit. Bill Barnwell on Grantland today, writing about, you know, in soccer, they got the loan system. So if you're not familiar with this in soccer, right, let's say I'm one team.
Right.
And I got a young guy. And the young guy probably isn't going to make my starting lineup, but I don't want to leave him on the bench. You know, he's just going to rot there, and so I want to get him some experience. So what I can do is I can loan him out to a team in, like, a lesser league and or a team that's just worse in my league, and he can play for them for this season or for half a season, whatever we decide.
He gets some minutes in.
And he gets some minutes in, but then, you know, at the end of the year or at the end of 2 years, whatever you decide with them, he comes back. So that's a big thing in soccer, the loans. You know, it's a way for maybe a lesser team to bring in a player that normally they wouldn't have access to, and it's a way for a bigger team to sort of, you know, get one of their guys some first-team reps,
where are you going with this?
So to speak. So Bill Barnwell wrote this whole thing today about what he thought it would be a great idea in baseball to have some version of a loan system. And he put a lot of restrictions on it, okay? So before you go crazy,
I'm not.
It's worth reading. And like I said, he says every player could have a no-loan clause, meaning you could turn it down at any time. He says nobody should be forced to do that. But he says, you know, that's one way to do it. He says it should have a deadline, kind of like a trade deadline, so that, you know, in the middle of September, a team isn't acquiring a guy, you know, for the next 2 weeks or something. But anyway, he goes on, he writes this whole thing. And one of the examples he used of a guy that could be, you know, well-suited for this sort of thing was Craig Kimbrell. And the thought was, all right, the Padres could loan out Kimbrell for the rest of this year to the Cubs, the Blue Jays, whatever, and they'd get a permanent piece back, you know, whether it was a prospect or maybe a guy that didn't fit in with one of those. And so then they would have a player that they essentially traded
Who's
for.
Who's paying him?
The other team would.
Okay.
Would pay for however long he played there. And then at the end of the season, Kimbrell would come back to the Padres. So the Blue Jays or the Cubs or whoever will get an opportunity to bring in the shutdown closer that they're missing. They'd have to give up something. They'd have to pay for him. And then the Padres is kind of looking at the standings and saying, hey, maybe we're not there. Maybe at the end of July, if things don't go well, they make this move. Anyway, it's a little bit out there. I can't imagine Major League Baseball and the Players Association ever agreeing that some version of this would work.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
But great food for thought. Great food for thought.
Yeah, sure. It's, you know.
Is it the craziest thing you've ever heard?
It's getting there. Yeah. Next thing you know, you're gonna loan the guy, and he's gonna be on a clock.
Yeah,
there's where baseball's going. Huh?
That well, you I love clocks now. I'm all on team clock.
Killer bee.
I'm all on team clock. No. When we come back, we'll talk about what Rob Manfred said about pitch clocks because he was asked a lot about that, and not just Rob Manfred, Tony Clark, the head of the Players Association, because they too have some very strong opinions on the pitch clock.
You read a lot during the day, don't you?
That's what I do. I mean, that's how I get through an hour of baseball talk every day. I read these things, and then I say, oh, that's a good conversation with RJ.
I mean, yeah, you got me on Grantland. I mean, it's part of my iPad now. I mean,
we've got Bavakwa on FanGraphs. That's all you need to know. He calls it FanGraphics, but that's neither here nor there.
Is that why he's got his laptop right here when he does the show?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him about that.
What's he doing?
Maybe he's got notes. I've never looked.
You never looked?
No, but he's on FanGraphs now. The fact that I got Kurt Bavakwa to be in on FanGraphs, I feel like is a great win.
That is unusual.
That's a great one. All right, so we'll take a break, come back, talk about what Rob Manfred and Tony Clark had to say about some changes that may or may not be coming to Major League Baseball in the years ahead. Join the movement to create a world without cancer. The Padres want you to join Pedal the Cause and raise money for San Diego's cancer-fighting centers. You can ride, volunteer, be a virtual rider, or donate to a rider or team. Anyone can ride, so join Team Padres or ride on your own. To learn more or to register, check out gopedal.org/register. gopedal.org/register. Take a break, come back. Manfred and Tony Clark going toe-to-toe on potential changes in Major League Baseball.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. All-Star Game coming up at about 5 o'clock. Get to Rob Manfred and what he had to say about some future points of argument, maybe, in Major League Baseball in a couple of minutes. First, Friar Fever on this All-Star Tuesday checks in on Twitter with this All-Star type question. He wants to know, Randy, who bats cleanup on the Padres Social Hour softball team? Jesse, Randy, Kurt, Blooper, Annie, Mike, Ben, moderator Becky,
that's easy.
The backpack? The backpack could clean up.
Backpack's a DH. No,
oh, yeah, it's true. He can't play the field.
Kurt's got to be cleanup.
I'd say not Blooper would be my answer.
That's
pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Anyone but Blooper.
I play softball.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You're not a cleanup hitter. You're not a cleanup.
You're hitting last.
Yeah, exactly. And you're in right field.
Get over it.
You're in right field. And the center fielder is going to shade way over to right.
I'm okay with that, with the fielding.
Yeah.
But I can hit.
Oh, you can swing the bat?
I'm a single hitter in softball. So not cleanup. I'm a leadoff.
Oh, you're a leadoff guy?
I'm sorry. I'm leading Gracie off.
Are we calling you a prototypical leadoff hitter or no? I don't.
Definitely not prototypical, but I get hit.
I mean, you don't steal bases in softball, so I guess it's all right. But you don't want them clogging up the base paths.
But I'm always on base.
You
can bat ninth then. You can be like one of those, you know, when you.
No, sixth. I'll put you in the sixth spot.
Okay.
You should hit sixth.
It's better than last.
I think you should hit 11th, and there are 10 spots.
11th.
So Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball today, was asked a bunch of questions in Cincinnati about some hot topics around Major League Baseball. Start with replay, instant replay.
Okay.
It's not right. It's not quite right. The system, I mean. I'm glad that we have replay. I've said that 100 times. But it's not fully figured out yet. Is that fair, you think?
Yeah, I mean, but what are you saying, it takes too long?
I'm saying, yeah, there are tweaks and there are adjustments
that
could be made.
I think the advantage of doing, they talked about maybe putting a second studio, monitoring studio on the West Coast.
Yeah.
I think that'd make all the difference in the world.
Really?
I think if you had one on each coast, you'd speed the time up.
So you think part of the delay is that they don't have enough people?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. If that's the case, they should all be fired.
I think they're just back there. And I don't know how many people are.
Haven't staffed the thing correctly, that's the easiest adjustment in the world to make. You say, hey, we need another guy in here. Like, if that's what's been screwing up the whole system, is that MLB didn't know how many umpires to put in the room in New York? Because I don't really care if they're in New York or San Francisco or Milwaukee.
How many umpires got to be in there? How many do you think are in there?
It depends on the number of games that night. But I'd like to see maybe one guy have two games he's responsible for.
So that you got 15 guys in there.
I don't know, man. But if
well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know either.
Right. But if that's been a problem, add more.
I don't think they have that many in there.
You think it's like one guy for the whole night?
No. I mean, but I'm saying three.
It's not that big of a room. I've actually seen it.
Have you?
In person, yeah.
Well, could you put 15 guys in the room? Come on.
Well, remember, there's also the replay technicians in there. It's not just the umpires.
That's what I mean.
The techie guys that are like rewinding the tape or whatever.
Yeah, if you don't have the techie guys, they can't make a call.
Right, no, of course.
Hello.
Anyway.
So I'm just thinking if they have on the West Coast to East Coast, I think that'd make
you
a
think
difference.
That'll help?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, look.
I don't think it helps anything, honestly. I think it helps the umpire's travel schedules. I think you can take a guy that's on the West Coast and he doesn't have to fly to New York to be a replay umpire. He can just, you know, go to San Francisco. I think that's the reason they're doing it. I think it's an easier logistical thing for them on the inside. I don't think that has any impact whatsoever on the field.
There are actual umpires in this room?
Yes.
Why don't you get a bunch of retired umpires to do it?
Anything.
That's what I'd do.
Yeah. Hey, well, that's...
Give them a job.
All right. So Rob Manfred said, hey, look, we're open to tweaking and updating the system each year. We'll take it year by year, which I like the open-mindedness. He did also say he thinks they're a ways away, his term, from balls and strikes being automated. A ways away.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I watch Fox Sports San Diego every night, and it looks pretty obvious to me on Fox Track, whether it's a ball or strike.
I don't trust that thing either.
You don't?
No. Sorry. That's just the way I am.
All right. Blooper says we got to take a break. He said some other interesting things that we may have to get to on tomorrow's show because we're running out of time.
Whiz.
Yeah. I apologize.
I'll watch tomorrow.
Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. So visit the new Maui Waui locations inside the ballpark, at the park, at the park, or on the Mercado. They are also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Take a break. Come back. Let you know about the weather in Cincinnati and get you ready for the All-Star Game. On Fox.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United, just about an hour away from first pitch in Cincinnati as we bring you the Maui Jim Weather Report. They are not as concerned as they were earlier today in Cincinnati. Tarp was on the field. It was raining earlier. My sources are telling me they feel confident, quote-unquote, that they'll be able to get the game in tonight. The priority for Major League Baseball is to play this thing tonight, even if there are delays. And if a worst-case scenario happens, they might try and play it tomorrow night in prime time, but it doesn't sound like that's going to happen. They should be okay. The weather report brought to you by Maui Jim Sunglasses with lenses that eliminate glare and make colors pop. Maui Jim Sunglasses don't shield your view of the world. They bring it to life. RJ, thank you as always. And, hey, everybody, enjoy the All-Star game tomorrow. We'll be back to recap it tomorrow at 5:30. Enjoy the game tonight.